His name is Jesus. We can see the people we're sat around. We can see creation outside. And so Jesus' prayer is talking about the reality that you don't see having an impact on the reality that you do see. Yeah? If we take that a little bit deeper, the reality of the spiritual realm is eternal. There's no time. And our reality, we have time, don't we? We have birth and death. We have aging and all these wonderful things that we don't particularly like. And I just want to take a moment to almost like poke our thinking a little bit on this area, because I think when we talk about intercession, the idea that your prayers can have an impact in a reality that you don't see into one that you do see is quite mystical. It's mysterious, and it requires a bit of imagination, I think. And if I think we're honest with ourselves, our general understanding of this would be very poor. The Bible talks about the spiritual realm or the heavens or the third heavens a lot. And I want to look at a particular story in the book of Daniel and to almost like lift the veil on the spiritual reality and how it impacted the physical reality in Daniel's day. So I just got a few little kind of bullet point statements I want to share with you. So we believe in a God who is eternal and exists in a spiritual unseen realm. We also, to some degree, believe in a devil, but we're not really sure how or how it really works. If we're honest with ourselves, we consider this dynamic mind-boggling. God, who is spirit, is definitely what we believe, yet the spiritual realm we have little belief in. And there we have a Bible that says that there is demons, there is healing, there is miraculous food provision, there is war and sickness, which are all attributed to the spirit realm. So here we are, having to wrestle this one through. So if you've got your phone Bible or your paper Bible, why don't you turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. This is what it says in chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year that Cyrus was the king of Persia, a revelation, so spiritual insight, was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. It was a message that was true, and it was concerning a great war. So now it's talking about something that's about to happen on the earth. And suddenly the message came to him in a vision. Verse 2. At this, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. So there's a physical action. I ate no choice food. I ate no choice meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions or moisturizer on my skin over those 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris. So he's in a physical place. And I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face was like lightning. His eyes were flames of torches. His legs were like gleaming burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. That's the description of Jesus in the book of Revelation, isn't it? Yeah? He's standing before Jesus. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw this vision, although there were those who were with me, and they were filled with terror, and they fled to hide themselves. So do you remember this story in Mount Sinai where Moses is up on the mountain, there's fire, and the children of Israel are like, you go there, we're terrified. Yeah, it's the same thing. The holy presence of God has turned up. People can't see it, but they feel it and they hide. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision, and I had no strength left in my left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Again, when John encounters Jesus in the book of Revelation, he says a very similar thing. I then heard this person speaking to me, and I fell into a deep sleep with my face on the ground. Verse 10. A hand touched me. Now, we're not sure whether it's the hand of Jesus or a hand of an angel. It says, a hand touched me, and it set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before the Lord your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes or one of the archangels, came to help me because I was detained by the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Verse 15. While he was saying these things to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then the one who looked like a man touched, so this is probably talking about Jesus now, touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Verse 18. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid. You are highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. When he'd spoken to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. When I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. Chapter 11, verse 1. And on the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand and supported and protected them. Now, that is a quite out there Bible passage. But I want us to pick up the language. An angel or Jesus is talking about being resisted by the king of Persia. He's not talking about the physical king of Persia, is he? It's obvious. So here we've got this kind of spiritual dynamic that in the preceding chapter, Daniel is crying out the promises of Jeremiah that the people would be set free after 70 years of being in exile. He's confessing, he's repenting. That's what happens in the previous chapter. Ever since you humbled yourself to gain understanding, I was sent, an angel was sent. I was delayed by another spiritual power. The archangel Michael comes, that overpowers that demonic force, and now we're here to talk to you. Yeah? And I want to contend that there's quite a lot of stuff happening in our world which isn't just of human origin. And the Bible talks about these things in quite a lot of depth. So although Daniel was heard in his prayers, there was a delay. Have any of you ever experienced a delay in prayer? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. There was a delay. Sometimes we think, oh, God's not answering my prayer. What if your prayer's being held up because there's resistance to it? What do you do? Do you doubt God or do you keep praying? Verse 13 says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael came, one of the chief priests, one of the archangels, to help me. But I was detained. This messenger from God was detained by another power. Now, Jesus understood these physical realities. He understood that when King Herod massacred babies in Bethlehem, that was a spiritual thing. It was rooted in a spirit. It wasn't just King Herod's evil nature. He also, in Luke 13, verse 10, says this, and listen very carefully to the language, Luke 10, verse 8. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and there was a woman who had been crippled by a spirit. Not crippled by sin, not crippled by living in a fallen world, crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up. When Jesus called her, he laid his hands on her and immediately was straightened up. Jesus roots not all sickness, but her sickness in a spirit. Paul says this to the church in Corinth, in Corinthians 2, chapter 10. For we live in the world, the physical realm that we all see, but we don't wage war like the world does. Our weapons are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish strongholds and every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. What is a stronghold? It's a way of thinking. And it becomes resistant to God's will. In Ephesians, in the chapter 6, it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you take your stand against the devil's schemes." So it's the devil that's against us. "For your struggle is not against flesh and blood," against people, "but it is against rulers." He's not talking about Caesar. Rulers and against authorities, against powers in this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly or spiritual realms. This word rulers in Greek is the word origin. So there is a spirit whose name is Origin, and it actually, its purpose is to attack the origins of humanity, which is why you see child sacrifice consistently throughout history under different names. So there is a real spiritual reality that I think we need to learn how to not just pray prayers, we need to engage with a degree of intercession. So where you see ideologies is often where you will find a spiritual realm. Capitalism is an ideology. Communism, ideology. Transgenderism is an ideology. They are all set up against the knowledge of God. Bankruptcy in a city and poverty is a spiritual battle as well as a physical one. And if you have repeated patterns of illness or divorce or things going wrong in your family, that's not just a physical thing. That is rooted in a spirit. And so we have to be aware if we're going to engage. And maybe this is like, I've never heard a sermon like this. But I just want to jog our thinking. And then I want to encourage us. Daniel responded in a number of ways which we can equally respond. He responded to the physical realities that were, you know, spiritually based in his day by mourning, by confessing, by repenting, by fasting, by praying. He declared the promises of the prophet Jeremiah over the nation of Israel when they were in exile. He declared scripture. And Jesus had a similar practice. He declared things. He fasted. He prayed. He mourned. And he confessed the sins of the nation that he loved dearly. And so I want to encourage you to just think, actually, is there some things that I really need to intercede for my family, for my community, for my city, for my nation? You know, what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, what's happening in Gaza, is not just all physical. And we have to engage spiritually. And so I want to encourage us to be a people of intercession. So if you just want to close your eyes for a moment, I was going to pray for us, and then I'm going to hand back to Mary. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are born of flesh and of the Spirit according to your word. And Father, as Paul says, not all of our battles are with our own flesh, but sometimes they're with powers and principalities in the spiritual realm. And so Heavenly Father, I pray for us as a community, would you help us to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Would our feet be buckled with the gospel of peace? Lord, would we carry the shield of faith, and would we learn how to exercise the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? Help us to declare the promises of truth and of scripture over our family lines, over our neighborhoods, over our communities, until we see heaven on earth, in Jesus' name. Amen.